What can you tell us about the ancient technology, specifically the reed of quick writing?
Oh, well, if you read the Book of Enoch, Enoch was taken out off the earth and brought up through various dimensions into heaven. I truly believe that's what happened. I mean, when you really read Enoch 2, the second book of Enoch, it reads just like an alien abduction. I mean, it's no different. Two glowing beings appeared at his bed and told him to tell your family that you're going to be gone for a while. That's what they said. I said, wow, this is really cool. I'm already locked in, you know? And this is written hundreds, thousands of years ago. And this is what people are experiencing now with the bad aliens, not the good ones, but the bad ones, who we think were probably spawn of the fallen ones or actually are fallen angels. This brings up a whole other thing. When you get into angels, you get into these, you know, winged, like kind of girly man kind of creatures, you know, it's not like that.
Yeah, our culture has totally ruined
They've
what an
screwed it
actual.
up. Yeah, it just bugs the crap out of me sometimes. It's like, okay, wait a minute, guys. Who are these beings? They have abilities we don't have. They can blow stuff up like they did during the time of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. They can basically walk through walls like the angel did that it was Peter, I guess. I mean, LA talks about this. And until he brought that to my attention, I had never thought of it in that light. I said, that's just brilliant. Because this angel walks through the wall, Peter's chains fall off, everyone else falls asleep. Now we know that through telepathy, which these beings do, let's just say that's a thing they do. It's like no big deal. They have this ability. Next, you know? I mean, it's why do we have to just argue about these facts? So anyway, his chains fall off, the doors swing open, and he leaves. Now, when we've talked to people that have been abducted, it's the same deal. Their wife goes unconscious. They're lifted off the bed. They're floated through a window. This is what happened to Captain Robert Salas. This guy was commander over 10 nuclear warheads in the 60s. He's a very intelligent and honest and trustworthy guy. This is what happened to him. This is the same thing happened to Enoch that it talks about in the scripture. So, okay, let's make some comparisons now. We have good angels, we have bad angels. They're still angels. They have the same abilities. Some can use it for good, some can use it for bad. Some can steal you from your house and your family, not tell anyone you're leaving. That's not what Enoch's angels did. They were very respectful. They said, "Would like to take you somewhere. You're going to be gone for about a month. Tell your family you're okay." Do the bad angels do that? No.
They just take you.
They just take you. They knock out your family and everything else. In fact, one interesting thing was, and I don't want to go too long, I don't know how much time we've got left here, but
Oh, we got as much as you want. I whenever I do these, I never plan anything for that whole day, so
well, as you may know, LA and I visited this doctor in Philadelphia who has written books on the subject and who is into a way to use hypnotherapy on patients. Dr. David Jacobs is his name. And Dr. David Jacobs is a Jewish man, but he doesn't believe in the supernatural, really. He's very scientific. He's done this for 25 years. And all the people say the same things. They may not know each other. They come from different parts of the country or other countries. They all say, you know, they were floated out a window. And they're thinking as they're coming up to the window, how are they going to open it? It has a really weird latch, or it's hard to get it open. And they don't, before they know it, they've kind of floated through this window. And some have even said it felt like going through a bowl of Jell-O. Some even remember what it felt like, which I think is really interesting. But then they don't remember much after that. All of a sudden, there's a bright light and they're in a hallway. Next thing they know, they're on a table getting experimented on. And this is what a lot of them say, the same stuff. So what happens to Enoch? He has two glowing beings enter his room. Before they enter, it says, he gets this feeling of dread comes over him. LA and I have talked, I told LA about this the other day. I said, this is like when I asked Dr. Jacobs, is there a sphere of influence over their telepathy? How far does it extend? And he goes, oh, excellent question. No one's ever asked me that before. I said, well, there's got to be, you know, a finite distance of how much they can do this and use it on. And he said, what normally happens to people? They're watching television. These beings are getting close to their house. And they realize they're kind of like nodding off while they're watching TV. And before they know it, they're unconscious. The closer they get, our brains can't handle that stuff. And it constantly in the Bible, it talks about, and the angel came down and picked me up because I was they did a face plant, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it's because our brains don't work like that. Someday they will, I believe. But yeah. Right now we're in these crummy bodies and we don't have huge brains yet, and we don't relate to people telepathically. But later we will, I do believe. I don't think that that's crazy at all.
No, I don't think so either. I agree. Yeah.
So that's what happened to Enoch. He had a feeling of dread before they even came into the room. Their telepathy was affecting him before they even appeared to him. And he was frightened by them, and they said, fear not. You know, that's what the good angels always do. They comfort you. They say, don't worry about it. This is fine. And they lift you up. You know, they don't want to be worshipped. They're there to do a job. You know, and they're probably going, oh, another one, you know. You know, and that's why we can't be afraid of beings like that. But if they're alien beings want to abduct us, then I truly believe you can say, you know, in the name of Jesus, what the heck do you think you're doing in my bedroom?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and that's been a consistent report, too, is that the few abductees who have actually used the name of Jesus, it gets rid of them. They have to bow to that authority.
It does. Sometimes it hasn't done that. Roger was asked that question once. Oh, gosh, he was so funny. And he said, well, maybe it didn't work because they were Jewish. The whole crowd roars. Now, Roger was
so
you
probably
funny.
Probably have to have, you know, some kind of faith behind it, to, you know.
I think so. I do think so. That's so funny, though. But there's a spiritual component to this, obviously, and there's a high-tech component to it. They're both working together. You can't understand one without the other. That's why these people who say, oh, you guys are Bible thumpers, I hate that term.
Yeah.
It's like because their minds are closed to the historical nature of the Word of God, and they don't even want to study it and see that these facts are in there that we just haven't dug out yet to see, what does this mean?
Yep.
I'm curious about all these things. I like the stuff about when the death squad comes down in Ezekiel 9 and wipes out everybody except the people that were weeping and sighing. I think that's cool. They didn't have guns. They didn't have swords. They didn't have daggers. They had something high-powered where they could wipe out the whole town in a few minutes. End of story. I mean, that's really wild. That's really sci-fi stuff. That's in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's like a blast when you really get into it. It's like, you're kidding me.
Yeah, Ezekiel's become one of my... definitely my favorite Old Testament book, but maybe my favorite book of the entire Bible. In my book, Cherubim Chariots, I did a whole breakdown of the first chapter because there is so, I've read that chapter over and over again the past 3 years, but it wasn't until I started getting really into quantum physics and stuff that a lot of that started to make sense.
I have to read your theories about that.
Yeah, I'm happy to send them to you, but yeah, it's mind-blowing stuff.
Well, back then in those days, they didn't have like Adobe color palettes to let you choose what color something was. Oh, it's Pantone color number 0905. You know, it wasn't like that. So in those days, it was like the color of an amethyst or it was like an onyx stone, or, you know, all this. So they give the idea that, you know, a beryl stone is what I believe Ezekiel referred to this thing that he saw.
Yeah.
When you look up beryl, and I looked it up on Google, there's many different shades and hues that beryl stones can be, but the most popular one is silver gray.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. You know, it's like, what does that sound like?
Yeah.
It was the color of a beryl stone.
It's amazing. Yeah. That's one of the weirdest, most awesome books, and how much it connects to Revelation as well. I do want to ask you about Ezekiel and UFOs, but before that, I don't want to get you too far off track of the read of quick writing thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't answer that question yet. I had to get into where Enoch was abducted. And so he was allowed to look out into eternity, it says in that book. We don't only can imagine what he might have seen. It must have been cool.
Yeah.
That's a really crazy book. I mean, do you know about the part about the freeze mist they sprayed on his face?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, that when I read that, I thought, what? An angel comes over because God was emitting so much heat and sprayed his face to freeze his face so he wouldn't get burnt.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know, angel's got the aerosol can, you know. Just a minute. Hey, you guys got any more of that freeze mist back there on the shelf? It's like, yeah, just 1 minute. You know, this being comes over with like 500 eyes. Here you go. I mean, this is so cool.
Yeah.
Anyway, I mean, that's in the book of Enoch. I mean, it's like, who would have thought something like that up 1,000 years? Well, what? I guess it was 500 years before Christ when the book was written. Something like that. So anyway, God commanded one of the angels to hand Enoch all of the best and most comforting books that he might copy them. Well, he gives Enoch 360 books. Now, we don't know if they're scrolls or actual books or what. The Bible doesn't really tell us that. And hand to Enoch the reed of quick writing, because he needed some help to get through. So he had to basically transcribe all those books to take home to give the Methuselah. I mean, that's what it says. And I'm making this stuff up. So you go, well, I wonder what that could be. Well, I've got one of these little hand scanner things. It's about this long. It's battery operated. It has Wi-Fi. You just wave it over something and it scans it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, could that be what he had? I don't know.
Had to be something, because if he only had a month, you know, 300 some odd books to go through, that's like 30 books a day.
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be a task just to scan that many books.
Yeah.
Right? I think that's what it was. It was something that basically copied it, and then they printed it out for him or something. I don't know what they used. Must have been cool.
Yeah.
But he brought all those books back. Now, we don't know what happened to them. We know that he gave them to Methuselah. Methuselah died just before the flood of Noah. I don't know who those books were handed over to, or if some of them got destroyed in the flood, or I just don't know. The Bible doesn't really tell us about it. But maybe some of them survived, kind of like Adam's clothing that God.
Yeah.
That's another really interesting thing. In some of the Jewish texts, it talks about the fact that Ham, one of the sons of Noah, took that. I mean, they took it on the ark with them.
That's from the book of Jasher.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And it said that Ham gave it to Nimrod, who, is, as we all know, was the guy that was most in charge of the Tower of Babel. Mm-hmm. And when he wore Adam's vestiture, it gave him more power.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to it.
Yeah, I've looked into that too, and I've wondered if that's what, you know, if the interpretation from Genesis that he became a giant, or if he became Nephilim, if that's the correct interpretation. I wonder if it was those skins that did it, and, you know, if so, like how that whole thing works. It's amazing to think about.
Well, it is. And then you wonder if God himself actually made it, or if he had an angel do it, or, I mean, because God is so powerful, it's like, if he even comes close to something, it's vaporized. So, I mean, it's like, I don't know how, and not that I'm doubting that he couldn't do that, but it just seems like that's kind of like a chore for one of his assistants.
Yeah.
But maybe he blessed it in some way. I don't know. I mean, the coolest depiction of God I've ever read was from the book of Enoch, the second book of Enoch. I mean, I just read that and go, wow, you need to make a movie about this.
Yeah, no kidding.
It'd be a $400 million movie. I mean, it'd be just like really incredible.